There's a tale whose telling is so old, we do not know when it was penned or its author's name. A version of it, which I heard most recently out of the mouth of my sister Jean, is on the front of your bulletin. I didn't know this story until Friday, when my sister spoke it. A wise elder speaks to his grandchild and says, "In me there are two wolves warring. One is dangerous, and it is anger and envy and sorrow and regret, greed and arrogance, self-pity and guilt, resentment and inferiority. This dangerous wolf is lies and false pride and superiority and ego." The wise elder continued in the presence of his grandchild and said, "But there is also a wolf within me that is good. Notice the fruits of the Spirit, beloved. Joy and peace and love and hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion." And the wise elder from the Cherokee Nation adds, "Faith." "My child," this elder says, "the same two wolves are fighting in you and inside of every living person too." The young one asks the elder, "Which wolf will win?" And he says, "The one you feed." My brothers and my sisters, when we meet the disciples, James and John, on a road from Samaria to Jerusalem, there are two wolves at work in them. You see, Heloise is right. Back at the time of David, when the kingdom split and some went north and some stayed south, the Jerusalem Jews began to worship in a particular way, and those who went north to Shechem began to worship altogether differently. 1,000 years before James and John drew breath, there was a schism in God's people, and some were north and some were south, and never the twain did meet again. Out of those northern tribes grew the people of Samaria. Out of those northern tribes, new ways of worship, new ways of being, new ways of living that disdained what was going on in the south. And the southern tribes were no different. They disdained and called evil and corrupt those in the north. And the family was forever split. That wolf in James and John had been fed for generations of hate of the Samaritans. And you can hear it in that story in the Gospel of John when Jesus meets a Samaritan at the well and she says, "What are you doing talking to me? The Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans." It was an old wolf and it was a well-fed wolf. And so, when Jesus makes this pivotal decision to go toward the cross he knows awaits him in Jerusalem, when he makes this pivotal decision to take on to his body on the cross all of the violence, all of the injustice, all of the hate, all of the anger, all of the unfairness, all of the deceit, when he decides to take on the sin of the world on the cross, he knows he has to go to Jerusalem to do that. He's made this decision to be the place where the world finds its freedom through his gift of death and burial and resurrection. He's made this decision to take on the cross, but it goes through Samaria. So he sends an advance team, James and John. Remember, these are two of the three disciples that are always with him, whether it's the Mount of Transfiguration when they met Moses and Elijah, whether it's with him when he draws them into the room to heal Jairus' daughter. Wherever Jesus has an inner circle, Peter, James, and John are with him. They, more than anybody else, have seen him feed the 5,000 on the side of the hill. They, more than anybody else, have watched him calm the storm with his words. They, more than anybody else, have seen him raise the son of the widow from Nam. They, more than anyone else, have watched the woman touch the hem of his garment. They, more than any, have seen his love poured out, have seen his miracles come down. Jesus had been feeding the good wolf in them by loving enemies, by raising up those who were not of the house of Israel. Jesus, for the 3 years they had been together, had been feeding the good wolf, saying, be good to those who despitefully use you. He'd been feeding the good wolf by saying, it does not matter whether they follow me or not. If they're on that hill, I'm going to feed them. That good wolf had been energized over the 3 years that James and John had walked with Jesus. But old wolves die hard. So they hear the Samaritans say, you may not come through. And they turn to Jesus upon their return back to Jesus and say, shall we call down fire? And Jesus says to them, you don't know the spirit you are from. That dangerous wolf in you is not my spirit. That dangerous wolf in you is not the one I have fed. He rebuked them. Beloved, the truth of the matter is, I don't care who you voted for. The bad wolf in you has been really well fed. I don't care what you believe about the outcome. I don't care what television station you're watching, or what radio station you're listening to, or what paper you read. There has been a steady diet of all of the things that strengthen the bad wolf. And the good wolf is starving. And we who are called the people of God, we who are invited to live in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, it's hard to tell us from the rest of the world. And so, in so many words, Jesus said to the disciples, which wolf will you feed? In so many words, Jesus asks us, which wolf will you feed? Beloved, every first Sunday morning, in this church, I walk to this table and it is not adorned with flowers. On First Sunday, the only thing that sits here besides the light of Christ is our representation of the body and blood of Jesus. Every first Sunday, one way or another, I invite you to this table to come and be fed. Beloved, the story that must be in our being, the central story of our lives, the central story that has to feed which wolf will live within us, is one that stretched wide its arms in love and died. Stretched wide its arms and said, I refuse no one. I turn no one away, including the thief on the cross. I stretch wide my arms and say, whosoever will, let them come. I will take death, hell, and the grave and defeat them and get up with all power in my hands so that you might love. Yeah. That's our central story. The empty cross. The cross that tried with violence and corruption and deceit and hate and enmity to take down the Savior of the world. The cross that tried to say evil would win, but it did not. Our central story is that we are an Easter people. We are a resurrection people. Nothing in this world can take that from us. Our central story is that we are a Pentecost people, that we have power in our faith to walk into places and to speak truth in love, to bring hope and to raise up good. That's our central story. But my question is, which wolf will you feed? Which story will you believe? No one sitting in a circular office is stronger than my God. No one gathered in a chamber. I don't care which party is stronger than my God. No one who speaks with words that are not loving is stronger than my God. And there's blame on both sides of the aisle. But we who call ourselves Christians, we who know the story of the empty cross, we get to decide if we are going to operate in our central story. We get to decide if we are going to believe that God is still sovereign, that God is still watching, that God is still love, that God still is God all by God's self. We get to decide. And I know that there are hearts that are broken. I know that there are hearts that are rejoicing. I know that there are people who hold such widely disparate opinions, but I want us as Christians to tell the central story that Jesus is alive, that right and good are strong, and we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. That was last week, and a blessing to all the nations of the world. That was 3 weeks ago. That hasn't changed. Which wolf? The God who loved you enough, loved me enough to send his son to take on that cross, says you will know, the world will know, you are my disciples by your love. Amen. The world will know you follow. The world will know you trust me. The world will know you are mine by your love. That, beloved, is our central story. I told you in Sunday school that our friend Cynthia had written on her wrist, "Love casts out fear." Jeannie and I saw it on Friday. I'm doing the same thing tonight. Tell your central story, the one God gave you. Tell our central story, the one that is from above. This is how they'll know us. And Paul, when you can't do anything else, when you're struggling and you don't have words of your own and that love seems so very far away, pull out Paul's words. Because summing it up, he said, do this. Fill your minds with noble and reputable and authentic and compelling and gracious and true. Not the worst, but the best. When that love seems to leak away from you, tell this story. God, you loved me and you've kept me. You will do the same for my nation. Tell this story. God, you've loved and you've kept my family and you'll do the same for the nation. Tell this story. You were strong enough to keep this church open for 169 years and you'll be strong enough to bless this nation as we seek you. Fill your minds, not with the worst, but with the best. And the God of all creation hears us. Beloved, which wolf will you feed? Our closing hymn asks us to rise up. It asks us to rise up and live in this space that is filled with God's love. It asks us to rise up and believe the story. Rise up, O saints of God. Tell the world our central story, that we might feed the good in all humankind. May we this day make that decision and go into the world, sign and symbol of God's love. Amen.